Hello and welcome to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. The massive aid bill for Ukraine passed by the U.S. Congress ensures the conflict will continue. Countless lives will continue to be lost. But will this aid alter the events being played out on the ground? There is no reason to believe so. Crosstalking Ukraine, I'm joined by my guest Tom Luongo in North Florida. He is publisher of Gold, Goats, and Guns blog and newsletter. In Miami, we have Angie Wong. She is a journalist and co-host of The Final Countdown on Sputnik International. And in Pritchard, we cross to Derek Evans. He is a candidate for Congress, as well as Biden's political prisoner. All right, Crosstalk rules in effect. That means you can jump anytime you want, and I always appreciate it. Derek, since you're running for the U.S. Congress, I would like your reaction to the flurry of Ukrainian flags being waved in the House of Representatives after that massive bill was passed. I was wondering if that was just AI trying to fool me. Your thoughts?
Well, I wish it was AI just trying to fool you. No flag should be waved inside of the U.S. House chambers. It's the people's house. So it's not that it was the Ukrainian flag necessarily. It's that there was any foreign flag. None of them should be waved inside the people's house, inside of America.
Okay, well, but the press took it very differently. That this was, I think there was a congressman said, the Ukraine's border is our border. Derek, would you like to continue with that? Is that an American border?
Well, if it was the American border, then they wouldn't care about securing it because they don't care about securing their own border. They're leaving it wide open right now for people just to invade our country. So I wish that they put that much effort into securing the American border as we're currently being invaded by the millions right now every single month at the southern border as well as the northern border of our own country. So they're a bunch of hypocrites. They say whatever they want in order to line their own pockets. We know that there's money laundering going on from this money. It's going to Ukraine, supposedly, and then coming back to these corrupt politicians inside America.
Yeah, well, they're paid and bought, that's for sure. You know, Tom, immediately after the bill was passed, President Biden had a conversation with his counterpart in Ukraine, Zelensky. And Zelensky, that was the readout, Ukraine can win this war. What is he smoking, or does he have another preference? Go ahead, Tom.
It's clear that they're using Ukraine to the last Ukrainian, right? They're going to fight this war to the last Ukrainian. And then once we get to that state, that's when NATO's going to come in. It's kind of similar to, you know, how they fought, you know, the Germans to nearly the last Brit during the Siege of London in World War II. This is a very similar strategy. And they just feel that the longer they draw this out and then get it to a point of desperation on the part of Ukraine, that's when they can justify everything else. So we should expect next, if this is the same script, is some kind of false flag or American complicit operation against America in order to justify why we need to go in and fight the evil Putler. Putin is not Hitler, and he's not stupid. And because he's not stupid, he's not fighting the war the way they want him to fight it. He refuses to take their provocations. He continues to just grind out small victory after small victory after small victory in the Donbass. He's massing in Kharkov and getting ready to move there and possibly Sumy. And I find that fascinating because ultimately he's just going to continue to grind out NATO, knowing full well that he can fight them on their terms until they finally commit. And then he can raise the pain threshold, not just kind of politically and attrition wise, but now really up the ante financially, militarily, and then clearly politically after that. So I think that's his strategy.
Yeah, Angie, when the conflict started, I asked my guests repeatedly, who's got the time and who's got the clocks? And always the answer is Russia has both. Angie, I have a bit of a different take on this here with the $61 billion. And it's all about the election cycle, unfortunately. It's not about lives because Americans aren't losing their lives in Ukraine. So Ukrainians are, you don't have to spare their lives. They don't mean anything to American voters, particularly not to members of Congress. But I think there's one way you can look at it. This is one big wet kiss, one last tranche before the elections. And then they say, well, we did what we did. NATO is a spent force. It's not going to up the ante, at least militarily, in Ukraine. This is the last shot. Angie.
Absolutely. Look, the support for the Ukraine in Congress has dwindled over the months. In fact, the House Freedom Caucus didn't even want to hear about it. It was really strange when the House Speaker, Mike Johnson, did a 180 when he was just a congressman. He voted no for any additional aid to Ukraine. And all of a sudden, when he becomes House Speaker, he's got to push the money through. We got to get that in. And you know why? Because we have to fund the military complex, right? We have to fund them so that they can fund Congress and they could pad their super PACs, they could pad their congressional funds, etc. And that's why all the Democrats were waving their little, you know, blue and yellow flags on the floor of Congress. I couldn't believe that. I mean, if I wear an American flag on my lapel, people look at me funny. Now, that is the big difference that we are facing today. Now, no one can talk about it, not even Marjorie Taylor Greene, who was basically told, just do it. Don't talk about it. We'll fund you or whatever deal they made. But that's what happens. Everyone got a little bit of grease on their hands. They got a little bit of cash going into their campaigns. So they're happy. Do we care about what happens in Ukraine and the Russo war? I'm not so sure that support is still there amongst the Americans.
Well, they're certainly not there. Public opinion polls say very clearly it's not. Derek, it's very interesting. The New York Times says the democracy dies in the dark. Well, I'd say democracy dies in Congress, okay? I mean, the Republican base is adamant that they do not want money. And Angie brings up the question that maybe we'll have an answer to. What the hell happened to Mike Johnson? Go ahead.
Well, first of all, democracy, when you hear that term in America, you might as well just strike that out and say communism, because that's what they're really meaning at the end of the day. We're a constitutional republic, and they keep using that word democracy when they really just mean communism. Speaker Johnson has really just been a failure. He should have been vacated a long time ago. I don't care what kind of chaos that would have caused. It really speaks volumes to the old saying that absolute power corrupts absolutely, because to her point, he has done a 180 since his time as a congressman to becoming speaker. I wonder who's been in his ear. I wonder what kind of promises he's been given. It's very unfortunate right now, because while Congress continues to grease their pockets, to line their pockets with all this money that's going to the military-industrial complex, it's the average people all across the world, not just in America, it's the average people who are losing right now. We have our own people who are struggling here in America. We're sending billions of dollars to other countries. Actually, we're borrowing money from China to send to other countries, because we're $34 trillion in debt. And then at the same time, you have everyday average citizens in Ukraine and Russia who are dying in a war right now that, quite frankly, these people in Congress don't care anything about.
Yeah, Tom, it just came out today that the Russian Defense Ministry estimates that the Ukrainians have lost 500,000 men in this conflict. I assume that is deaths and severe injuries here. And so the plan is to get the next 500,000. I mean, it's really amazing. With the aim to damage Russia, they're destroying an entire demographic in Ukraine. What will Ukraine have to rebuild after all of this? Go ahead, Tom.
Well, clearly, I mean, I don't want to go, you know, too far afield into the depopulation agenda or anything along those lines, but, you know, David Cameron and all the British and Jeremy Hunt and all the British, highlights, big lights, all said the same thing. Isn't this great? You Americans are spending all this money, and not one American life is being killed here. This is great. You're just wasting basically Slavic lives. And like, it's disgusting just how much they hate everybody who's not them. Like, the mask has come off so completely about this agenda. And I find it just, you know, it's abhorrent, right? But what's interesting, looking at what's going on in Congress, just to go back to a couple of points that Derek and Angie made, it looks to me like the situation for Ukraine is even worse than we thought it was, because it's very possible, because I've seen some reports of this, that we've already stripped Patriot missile systems from NATO allies in places like Greece and Spain and other areas, and sent them to Ukraine, and they've already been blown up. And that a lot of this money that was earmarked through this bill was literally to replace those systems in places where they're already supposed to be. That, in fact, almost none of this money is going to go to Ukraine at all, and it's not going to change anything.
And when Johnson, just to
change the narrative a little bit for people to think about, just one thing, because right now, Mike Johnson is the most hated man in America. The second, only second
well,
only.
He deserves it. He deserves it. It was a self-goal.
Well,
self-goal.
But you remember The Dark Knight, folks. You know, you either die a hero or you live just long enough to see yourself become the villain. They make people into villains by putting them in impossible situations.
Oh, and I don't know. You know, I don't agree with that. That he did this willingly. What the payoff is? That's what I want to know. That's really what I want to know. Angie, maybe. Go ahead, Angie, jump in.
Look, he's down to one House majority. There's only one. The GOP is barely hanging on. He needs to have Democrat support in order to get any bills passed. Otherwise, then you're a do nothing Congress, which is what a line that they're going to be used over and over again.
Angie,
come November,
is it better to be a do nothing Congress than to be a poodle of Joe Biden, of all people?
Yes.
Listen, it's a rock and a hard place. And, you know, one thing to add about the $61 billion that goes to Ukraine, which again goes to American manufacturers, is that the delivery of a lot of these military weapons is not even going to be produced until 2029. You guys, this is not for the current war.
Exactly.
We should look at the
again,
here.
The nonsense exactly. that we heard there immediately, within a week. This is nonsense.
No.
It's not true whatsoever. Derek, is really one of the interesting things. I don't remember the exact number. It's between $8 and $10 billion they'll be going to pay for salaries and health care and everything else. Given the history of corruption in Ukraine, and I've witnessed it myself many, many times before 2014, before 2022, is that that money is just going to literally disappear into pockets. And you know what? The people in power in Washington and Brussels, they know that's going to happen. It's a huge bribe. 40 seconds before we go to the break. Go ahead, Derek.
Yeah, first I wanted to make sure everyone is aware that not to judge American citizens based on our government.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We do not feel this way about this. It's not a popular thing here in our country amongst the citizenry. So I wanted to make that very clear.
Absolutely.
The thing is, in West Virginia specifically, where I live, and a lot of other parts of this country, we have our own issues right now. There's an EMS crisis in southern West Virginia where people are literally dying waiting on an ambulance that's not going to show up because they don't have the funding to pay for that. But yet we're sending money to other countries. Specifically, some of the money that was once sent to Ukraine was to pay the salaries, pensions, and insurance for first responders in Ukraine. So we're literally paying for those services in Ukraine.
All right, Derek, I have to jump in here. We have to go to a hard break, and after that hard break, we'll continue our discussion on Ukraine. Stay with RT.
Рады приветствовать в нашем импровизированном кинотеатре. Мы ездим по всему Донбассу фактически, показываем документальные фильмы, которые, собственно, здесь же и снимали.
настолько незабываемые впечатления, столько много эмоций, что забыть это будет очень сложно.
Welcome back to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. To remind you, we're discussing Ukraine. Let's go back to Tom in North Florida. You know, part of this, I was going to say, part of the debate over the funding, well, there was no debate whatsoever. It wasn't allowed. There wasn't any public debate, even within Congress itself. And if there had been a debate, maybe we would have understood what the strategy is. What does winning mean? Because essentially what it's gotten down to is that just don't lose right now. Right now, don't lose. That's the cynicism of it, Tom.
No, I agree with that, Peter. And I also agree that going back to what's happened in Congress, like you're all right about how Johnson has been a failure as a speaker and all the rest of it. But I want to remind everybody that why did he hold off this bill for 4 months? And then all of a sudden at the last moment, do a 180. And he wasn't the only one on the GOP side of the ticket. There were at least, I think, 27 other congressmen who flipped their vote at the last moment. Now, we could say it's manila envelopes hit their desk of, you know, whatever the threats were behind the scenes. I can believe that, and I can also believe that there was something else possibly sincere. Nothing is ever as simple as it looks on paper, you know, when we see it in the papers in Washington, D.C. So I'm not absolving Johnson here. All I'm saying is keep an open mind that there may be multiple reasons why this had to happen now. And at the very least, We'll see what happens.
I'm more sensitive
about
the seizure
of Russian foreign exchange assets than I am about the $61 billion to Ukraine.
We know, Tom, that that he was given a CIA briefing right before he flipped his position here. Now, I can just imagine the threat porn that they showed him. I mean, these are the same people, you know, they don't know who blew up the Nord Stream. These are the same people that arrested 80-year-old women with walkers within 10 miles of D.C. on January 6th. I mean, they know a lot of things, okay? And they do a lot of covert things here. Angie, it seems to me that, you know, he's just out of his league. They intimidated him. And threat inflation is what that's their currency.
Yeah, and don't go to those winter retreats either, those RNC retreats. Yeah, don't take a free ride. We know those hotel rooms are bugged. They find every which way to entrap, especially the freshman Congress members. And it happens every time and everywhere all over Washington. He should have known better. It was a rookie mistake. Whatever he saw in the shift doesn't matter. He still should have, like, stood ground and worked for his Congress, but he didn't. And now he's down to one member, and he has to go to Democrats and the Biden White House for support just to remain Speaker of the House. Now, is that going to be pretty until November? No, it's just going to be a disaster. But meanwhile, the math is not there for the GOP conference. That's the sad part. And the best thing to do right now may be nothing, because, you know, if you need Democrat support for anything, well, do you want that? Because that's,
well,
nice.
You know,
that's
Angie,
a big nightmare trade.
But technically, the GOP does have the numbers. They do have the majority. The problem is with the GOP is they're not like Democrats. Democrats are like Bolsheviks. They will always vote in unison. That's the Republican Party's greatest weakness here. Derek, how does Trump play into all of this here? I mean, the photo op in Mar-a-Lago, you know, I back Speaker Johnson's positions. I mean, it's turned into a complete fiasco. Trump, of all the politicians, and I'm not boosting for him here, but, you know, he said, I will solve this when I'm president. He had the best line because it leaves everybody questioning. But now he seemingly is backing Johnson. It seems to me he's given away a lot. You know, he has no leverage. He's given away a lot for nothing. Go ahead, Derek.
Well, I didn't see where he necessarily supported Johnson on the Ukraine thing.
Well, he did in Mar-a-Lago. He did. He gave him a pat on the back.
Yeah, that was for something else. They'd already had that scheduled leading up to that. But I'll say that right now, the biggest issue is we have a uniparty in this country. We don't have necessarily Republicans and Democrats. We have a uniparty. And there's a civil war that's literally taking place within the Republican Party right now. You have the America First Freedom Caucus, Trump Republicans who are attempting to take over the party from the globalist warmongering neocons. And the Freedom Caucus, America First members are starting all across the country. This isn't just in Congress. I mean, this is at your local city and county GOPs as well. The America First Patriots are winning that battle, and you're starting to see that's why a lot of these things are being revealed right now on the national level, is everyday Americans are taking over the Republican Party from within. And so that's leading them to fall in, you know, to just kind of chasing them into the arms of the uniparty. And that's what we're seeing right now on the national stage. It's the uniparty that are doing this. That's why the Republicans and the traditional Republicans, the Mitt Romney Republicans, and the Democrats are walking in unison. They are one of the same. They're the exact same people, the exact same party.
Yeah, but Tom, I don't want to get into inside baseball too much, but that works for the left. That doesn't work for the right, okay? I mean, the most pathetic thing you can imagine is that a Republican speaker, he has to rely on the opposition to keep him in power. I mean, it's absurd.
It's not opposition. It's not opposition.
No. Nominally speaking, party-wise, I get your point. I got your point. I've used the term a uniparty a lot on this program. But, Tom, you get my point.
Yeah, no, I absolutely get your point, Peter. And this is the thing is that it was the same problem that Kevin McCarthy faced. And it was the same criticism. He used the Democrats to get stuff passed, and that's what caused the motion to vacate. So, but here's the thing with Johnson. Since the moment the Kevin McCarthy speaker fight began, we had pressure placed on squishy Republicans to get rid of them and to erode their majority. To be honest with you, if you really parse the headlines clearly here in the United States, from the moment it was decided that there were going to be a four-seat majority in the House, they started working to get rid of that four-seat majority by forcing resignations and everything else. So Johnson down, Danji's point is perfect. Johnson's down to a one-seat majority, and he was trying to run out the clock, and then they got to it. And they're like, no, we have to run out. You can't go to the break when everybody goes home in August to go campaign, because the Congress is done in August.
The Congress
all
is,
we have to do is,
yeah,
get through the next 3 or 4 months. And it's all, so the question now is, as Peter said, about the war, and the time is on Russia's side in the war. Well, it's not on their side to get everything passed through the U.S. Congress. They need to get done because they need to get passed between now and November, because they've already conceded effectively that Trump's going to win. Because of that, they're literally calling out every stop imaginable and trying to run the table off. So that's what I say.
I think it's already been mentioned in the program that everybody got paid and everybody's happy about it. Angie, I never would have thought we'd miss George Santos.
Do we miss him? He's trolling me right now on Twitter. No, look, he's trying to get onto my campus at Columbia University to walk Jewish students into their classrooms right now. Class is out at Columbia a week before finals, by the way. And who else sees this? This is Summer of Love 2.0.
Yeah, but Angie, I never really got it straight. Is he Jewish or is he Jewish?
He's not Jewish at all. He's anything you want him to be. He's now a Columbia student. It's like he was a varsity volleyball, apparently, when he was in college as well. You think he was varsity volleyball champ?
The reason why I brought this up, Angie, is because he's just the caricature of all of Congress, in my opinion. He's a fraud, and Congress is a fraud. It's a uniparty fraud. Agree or disagree?
How do you feel about running for a fraudulent, I guess, conglomerate?
Oh, he just got caught, okay? He just got caught. Derek, as we go into the election cycle now, I mean, this betrayal, I mean, particularly of the GOP base, okay? I mean, you can say a lot of things about Donald Trump, and I've said good and bad on this program, but he didn't get us into a war, and I credit him a lot for that. Biden has more wars now than we can count. Hasn't what the GOP is a betrayal of his candidacy?
Well, first of all, I want to say that everything that the left-wing media in America said Donald Trump was going to do is what Biden is currently doing. I mean, that's literally what he's doing around it, getting us into all these wars, all this chaos. And as far as George Santos, I wanted to quickly say, I do miss his conservative votes. He was a conservative vote in Congress. He would not have voted for these things. You can say whatever else you want to about him. He would not have voted for these things.
Derek, he didn't break any laws while he was in Congress that we know of, okay? I think that the voters should have decided his fate, okay? That's what democracy is. Yeah, throw the bum out if you don't like him, okay? Again, Tom's absolutely right. There's machinations to whittle down the majority. Keep going, Derek. Sorry to interrupt.
No, you're absolutely correct. That should have been a decision by the people. In theory, even those Republicans who voted to oust him really voted to overturn an election,
yeah,
which is comical at the end of the day when you really think about everything that the Republican Party is standing for right now in terms of election integrity. They turned around and voted to strip the voice away of the whatever 500,000, 700,000 people who he represented in his congressional district, and it's sad that happened. Congress is fraudulent, but that's why we need everyday Americans, everyday people to step up and start running for office all across this country. We have too many politicians in politics, and I think we're getting to a point right now in America where everyday Americans are feeling the effects of this. They're frustrated, and they're throwing their hands up, and they're starting to get involved in politics. And I hope that we can really get some of these people elected, everything from city council all the way up through Congress. That's what we're going to have to do if we want to make some changes in this country.
Tom, last question, 1 minute left. Is Ukraine on the ballot this year?
I
don't know. I don't have an answer to my own question. Go ahead.
I mean, no, it's funny. Oh, you asked me that question, and I'm like, there's so much time between now and then. There's so many things that can happen between now and then. I don't know that we make it to November at the rate that things
are going.
Well,
Before we started our recording, we were talking about a different idea, and we're going to end this program with a completely other idea. I've heard many people that I actually trust and believe that tend to doubt there will be an election. I don't know, but that is in the air. Who knows? Go ahead. 20 seconds, Tom. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, if it is, there'll be an election like we had in 2020. I mean, a fraudulent one. And then that will, because we're being set up for this. I think the United States is being set up for a breakup. And I think it has.
Well, I'll tell you, I think it's
for international financial purposes.
I will give you a prediction. If Trump is elected, he will be impeached before he's inaugurated. I'll end on that note here. I want to thank my guests in North Florida, Miami, and Pritchard. And of course, I want to thank our viewers for watching us here at RT. See you next time. Remember, Crosstalk rules.